Welcome to NFL Live. Hey, Monday Night Football featured a bounce back from Joe Burrow and the Bengals in a must-win. Burrow's toughness was on display, but we'll tell you which part of the Cincy team is officially back. Plus, a rookie who has caught the big swagoo's eye. Dan will also tell us three things that Jalen Hurts needs to improve to get back to the Super Bowl. Also, Cowboys fans, we're here to make you feel better, okay? Why it's not as bad as it seems coming off a loss to the Cardinals. We'll explain that and so much more here on NFL Live. Glad to have you with us. We've got a full house
Boogie,
here on
you
Tuesday.
Show? You show about this Cowboys thing?
I'm going to make
I don't know if it's going to feel better.
The Cowboys soul.
Okay. I'm not going to lie right now.
What?
Hawk, just the visual of where the camera is. And
it doesn't look great.
So big.
Wow. It doesn't look.
I'm not little.
Let me say something.
We're working on the configuration.
Which is very hard for me to admit.
Uh-oh.
The man beard is flawless.
Thank you.
It is quite
I don't. I'm not sure if I like it being in the studio with you, but it is flawless, dog.
I am absolutely cramping your style.
You are.
Bit.
You are. But it's
all right,
so good.
A Hawk's the beard man. Mind. He looks incredible. That's Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky. Your beard has no chance, Dan. Let's get back to last night. Of course, the Bengals and the Rams in Cincinnati. Dan and I had a front row seat for this one on Monday Night Football. Stafford to Tyler Higbee. And then the timeout by Zach Taylor ends up being huge there, Dan.
There were some pivotal moments in this game. This is a great job by Zach Taylor, realizing the defense had some lack of communication on there, and he gets it before the snap gets off.
Selling for a lot of field goals there. And here, Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase. They finally got going a little bit more.
And I really think Joe threw that on that back hip with that safety dropping down and just trusting Jamar's catch radius.
There goes Joe Mixon, the 14-yard touchdown. Finally a touchdown. Bengals 13-9 over the Rams.
No one was happier in that stadium than me, Lewis Riddick, Chris Fowler, and Laura when they finally scored a touchdown.
Matthew Stafford here. He had pressure all night. It was a big roll by that Bengals defense. But intercepted by Logan Wilson.
Oh, get it.
Yeah, they killed that one. It was a good job by Hilton getting his hand up and hit that ball. And Laura, you talked about some of the pressure. Matthew, great climb in the pocket to find Puka Nacua down the sideline in that cover two hole shot.
They limited Nacua a lot in this game. The Bengals did. But then now the fourth quarter, Stafford, a 1 yard touchdown to Tutu Atwell. The Bengals 19-16 over the Rams at that point. And then Mitchell Wilcox recovering the kick for the Bengals. So the Bengals go on to get a huge win. Their first of the season, it felt must win for them, and they were able to come through despite Burrow's calf injury, which we'll get into a little bit here. And he hasn't been himself so far this season. A lot of that has to do with the lack of practice in the calf. His average air yards per attempt is down a yard and a half from his first three seasons. On top of that, his completion percentage over expectation and off-target percentage are much worse than they were entering the season. But Dan, as I mentioned, we knew he was going to be limited. He said he was comfortable inside the pocket dealing with the calf strain, but really couldn't be creative outside the pocket. And just a tick off in some ways, right?
Yeah, certainly because of the lack of practice reps. But the reality is this, the Bengals are trying to win the hardest way possible. The zero margin for error because of the injury. They can't really create any explosive plays. Like, you watch the game, and we kind of knew going into it was going to be catch and throw, catch and throw. Now, that's a little bit of their offense fundamentally, but it's even more so now because Joe can't move. And there's the hardest part right now is it's almost impossible to create chunk plays. So it has to be this methodical and efficient offense. And when I say, like, margin for error, it only works if you are outrageously good on third downs and phenomenal scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Because we saw last night, you're efficient. Oh my gosh, there's another field goal. And all of a sudden we've had five possessions and we only have 12 points, but we have 250 yards of offense. It's just going to be incredibly difficult, but it's the only option for them moving forward right now.
And they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to be operating this offense at a high rate while also protecting Burrow. And they do that with Ja'Marr Chase. I actually love what they did with him yesterday. They lined him up everywhere. He was in the backfield. He was in the slot. They motioned him to it. Any way to get his hands on the football. The thing that makes this offense so dynamic is the connection between Chase and Burrow and how electric it is. So now you have a quarterback who's hobbled a little bit, but we still have to find Chase ways to get his hands on the football. And they did that in a great way yesterday.
You know what I want to say, Hawk, real quick? And we said it last night during the broadcast. I agree. I loved, especially on the early downs, moving him around. I do think on those third down situations, he's got to be by himself. I just believe.
Just one-on-one.
Yeah, just one-on-one. Even two-on-one. There's moments when he's getting double teamed. I believe the connection between those guys is that elite that still doesn't overshadow. So as much as I love to move him around, I still think in those third downs, he should be soloed up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he wants that, right? Yeah. He was even campaigning for it sometimes on the sideline. On the defensive side of things, though, Marcus, I mean, Lou Anarumo was in his bag in a lot of ways last night.
Welcome back.
Hello. The Bengals defense held the Rams to 16 points,
yes.
Two interceptions, six sacks. What worked?
I love the fact that we talked about Joe Burrow and leading up Boogie, you trying to find out if he was going to play or not. It looked like the first time this season that this defense took onus that we're going to have to win some games and some low-scoring games.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to create some negative plays against teams. Trey Henderson was going crazy last night. Now, I don't care if it's a backup tackle because he do that at starting tackle. So the bottom line is that this defense and the way that they approach and rally to the football, it had a different type of energy between him and Dax. They play a phenomenal game. They pressured when they wanted to as opposed to when they needed to, right? So
yeah.
I tell people this all the time. If you're a pressure football team, because that's the only way you can get teams in the negative yardage, most of the time you're going to be at the bottom half of the league in defense.
Right. Yeah.
When you pressure because you need to, then you got something cooking. And last night, because of the four-man rush and Trey Hendrickson, they were able to pressure when they needed to, and it panned out really good for them. Turnovers.
Yeah, yep. So Joe Burrow said last night after the game, no setbacks to the calf. They're going to have to monitor it throughout the season. They have the Titans next week. Let's get to New York and the New York Jets. Zach Wilson continues to struggle mightily. He's now lost his second straight start as the Jets wallow in the misery of losing Aaron Rodgers game one, wondering what could have been. Rodgers, speaking of him, jumped on with the Pat McAfee show and talked about the adversity he's seeing on the sidelines.
People are coming for us, and there's, you know, some heated conversations on the sideline and different things. I think we need to hold our poise a little bit better across the, really just offensively. You know, we need to not have some of those things happen on the sideline and to be a little better and to be a little just be a little better competitors.
Okay, let's get NFL insider Dan Graziano in here. Dan, the Jets did make a quarterback move today, signing Trevor Siemian. Is that the end of the Jets and the quarterback additions, or you think we're going to see more of that?
I do think they'll continue to tinker as needed, but, I mean, this is the kind of move that Jets fans should expect, if any, in the short term, right? Like the big, splashy, you know, new starting quarterback to replace Zach Wilson is not walking through that door, at least not yet. Maybe closer to the trade deadline. You know, if you're going to get a guy down the road, like hypothetically, a Kirk Cousins, a Ryan Tannehill, that those teams are going to have to get deeper into the season and decide to wave the white flag. So Siemian gives the Jets another option to go to, in addition to Tim Boyle, who's been on the roster as the backup, in case Zach Wilson continues to falter. In the short term, I'm told the plan is to continue to roll Wilson out there. But Siemian is a veteran who has played in the league, and if Wilson continues to struggle and Siemian shows something in practice, he becomes another option that they could consider.
Yeah, Graz, they are sticking by Wilson, as you pointed out. We've got more from you coming later on in the show. And the Jets Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath weighed in on social media, posting, "I'm starting to wonder if Zach's playing like he's being coached. He's making choices that are not intuitive to the quarterback position." Dan, you buying what Namath is saying there?
Yeah, I am, because right now Zach Wilson is playing to make a good decision rather than the right decision. Two plays, go back to last week. They're the same play, essentially, versus the same defense. The concept is really going to be three verticals. Garrett Wilson at the bottom of the screen has a go route. The slot has a middle bender and the outside receiver another go route. Now, if there's one safety in the middle of the field, we would take our shot at one of those one-on-one opportunities. You're going to see two safeties, okay, versus cover two. We really want a two-on-one, the boundary safety, shorter side of the field with one of those go balls and then that middle bender. Now, Zach Wilson's going to go, okay, here's the check down. And everyone would sit there and go, that's a good decision, but that's not the right decision. Here's the thing. When you get this coverage and you have the opportunity to throw one of what we call a go route hole shot, this is how it has to happen. Zach Wilson should see that boundary safety and go, okay, I got a chance to throw it. Now, if you're going to throw that check down, it should be on your second hitch. Zach Wilson should at least catch the snap and go 1, 2, 3, give that whole shot a chance. And if he doesn't like it, that's fine. But second hitch, check the football down. I want everyone to pay attention to Zach's feet, okay? Catches the snap. 1, 2, 3, one hitch, check down. Sure, that's a good decision. It's not the right one. That is, I'm throwing the check down no matter what. Now you go later in the football game, and Zach Wilson's going to have the same exact concept versus the same exact coverage. We are going to have a go route and a seam route. There's two safeties, right? We want a two-on-one, that boundary safety. Now watch Zach Wilson, watch his feet. One, two, three, hitch, and here comes that whole shot down the sideline before the safety gets there. It's the same pass concept, but one time Zach Wilson goes, I'm going to make a good choice, and everyone's sitting there going through the checkdown, great. And then one time he makes the right choice because he has the opportunity to rip that whole shot. And I think part of this is this. There's this philosophy probably in their organization of don't give the football away, we'll play great defense, and we'll have special teams be a part of it, and we'll be have the chance to win games. Here's my feeling on that. The Jets defense never gets to play in attack mode because they never have the lead.
You better preach.
They have to get Zach to a point where Zach plays with a mindset of aggression and make the right choice, not just a good one, because a good one is often riddled in fear rather than the right one is, I'm trying to make the winning play, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, look, Zach Wilson has to play better. We understand that. But I do feel like the blame that he is getting for the state of the offense is a little overstated, because for a coach, it is easy to strut Aaron Rodgers out there and say, hey, make us right. Yep. That doesn't take a lot of coaching prowess to do that. But if you watch this film, I think there were moments where Zach actually put together a couple of good drives, but ultimately, receivers aren't getting schemed open. He didn't have a lot of options down the field.
Right.
Yes, it was wet, but there were drop passes, and they couldn't protect them. So it does not matter what quarterback is back there. If you don't have a game plan that can protect them, it won't matter. And that's the point. I think the coaches also need to kind of take a look in the mirror.
I hate associating this word with NFL football players, but he looks petrified.
No doubt.
And petrified,
make a mistake.
To make a mistake. And that's exactly where I'm going, Dio. That's why I'm glad you said what you said. Look, when you have a franchise, and to your point, Hawk, when you have a franchise that's trying to play around you as a quarterback, your confidence will never come.
Yep. Right.
Like this kid, you know, I've sat on this show with y'all and said, I feel terrible for him because this position that he's in right now is worse than last year.
Yeah.
See, last year you could play and people could say, well, I'm young. I haven't had the time to get ingratiated. A new offensive coordinator, a plan for a Hall of Fame quarterback, and now I come in the game with people's historical memory of how I played, and now you're asking me to be the starting quarterback for a team that has Super Bowl expectations. Yep. So now you start to call plays like that, to your point.
Yeah. Yep.
Now your defense start to feel pressure, and they giving up plays.
The defense is never able to dictate the flow of the game. So everyone's like, they got to play better. Play better.
And that's the thing. It's not about Zach being scared to play quarterback. I don't want people to get it misconstrued. He's scared because his organization doesn't believe he can play the position at a high enough level for us to have success.
Don't blow the game.
Exactly.
That's kind of like the way, if you watch him play early in the game, it's don't blow it.
Yep.
And then later in the game when they're down 10 with 8 minutes to go, it's like, all right, we got to find a way to
do.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's a business. We all get that. But you got to think about, from his perspective, number two overall pick, everything was put on him. And now here he is not being able to do any of it. There's still talent there. And that's what I hope, that at some point that talent could be pulled out. We'll keep an eye on it. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. Hey, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles beat the Bucs on Monday night. But hear why Hawk has some concerns about the offense. Plus, Dan gives some keys to Jalen's rest of the season. Also, the Cowboys had a shocking loss to the Cardinals, but Dan's going to tell everybody why there's no need to panic. Don't worry, Swagoo. Things are just fine down in Dallas if they fix one thing.
No,
we're
going to
tell you
crazy.
What that one thing is next. We'll be right back.
The Cardinals in the pros.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This week's Monday Night Football matchup features DK Metcalf and the Seahawks squaring off against Daniel Jones and the Giants at MetLife Stadium, 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, with Peyton and Eli once again on ESPN2. Back to Monday night, a doubleheader from last night, and this one featured the Eagles and the Bucks meeting on Monday Night Football. Jalen Hurts under the weather in this one, arriving there at the stadium. The Eagles looking to go 3-0, under 4 left to play in the first. Jalen drops back, getting pressured, and then launches it downfield for the strike.
It's a great job by the offensive line of just giving him time. That was the story of their pass game, and then a beautiful touchdown pass from Jalen.
Here we go, next drive for the Bucks. Baker Mayfield out of the shotgun. Oh, the pass over the middle picked off by Reed Blankenship.
Man, look at Reed Blankenship giving my kids hope.
Oh, Dan, it was a nice
Reed good,
too.
He was hooking your play.
That was Dan's kid.
Yeah, no, all right, no, don't disperse them.
No, they can't.
All right, so that wasn't pretty. Jalen Carter is unbelievable. More on that in just a moment. So, Tad, that one. The Eagles lead 13-3 at the half. To the third quarter, the same score here. And Hurts right there, keeping it on the sneak, pushed in for the touchdown. Some people wonder how many times they can do that. The Eagles lead 20-3. Under 4 left in the quarter, Mayfield handing it off to White, and White gets tackled. So the Eagles would not give up the lead. They end up winning 25-11. And back to Jalen Carter. I mean, what a monster of a human. He's fantastic this season for the Eagles. He's got 15 quarterback pressures this season, according to NFL Next Gen stats, tied with Ed Oliver for the second most among defensive tackles, trailing only Javon Hargrave. He's the guy Carter replaced in Philadelphia after Hargrave signed with the 49ers this offseason. So if you're the Eagles, you're like, wow, that worked out really nicely. Marcus, what have you liked from what you've seen from this rookie so far?
Why are you making love to the camera right now?
Oh, damn. Y'all remember we was at the draft, how I reacted? This is why, because I knew this was going to happen. The other thing he's doing too, man, he understands the game. Coming from Georgia, I played for Kirby Smart at LSU. You have to have a really good understanding about defense. Look at Jalen Carter in this system right here. He actually tells the defense where this ball is going to create this pressure. Look at this. Formation set heavy, and he understands that this is all eye candy. They want to work this way with two overhang tight ends. I know this may not seem like a big deal to people. This is his third game in professional football.
Yeah.
With the number of formations that you're going to get throughout your career, for a rookie to start understanding leverages and how teams are lined up, and where they're trying to take me to, but where I really need to go, is a hell of a deal now. And it's translating into him making plays. Mm-hmm. This game mental, and he's advanced in that too.
Yeah, I mean, cool. You've already got the physical tools, but to be able to.
Brother.
It's kind of like. All right, let's flip it to the offense. Because
Dallas got here for 12 years.
I know, right? I'm sorry.
He said brother.
So, on the offensive side, like, Hulk Hogan. I just want to. They are 3-0, okay? So people at home, they're like, oh, why are you ripping on him? We're not. But it feels like they're having to kind of grind it out every week, Dan. What have you seen from this Eagles O and Jalen Hurts?
Watching the tape, it is fair to say that the sideline dust up was not nothing. Mm-hmm. He is definitely looking at AJ way more consistently than he's looking at some of the other pass catching options. This is probably the most shocking one. That's Devontae up at the top. It's press man. The safety's down at the bottom of the screen. He's like looking at AJ's side of everything that I've ever been taught about quarterback play. That ball should go up top with the safety favoring down to the bottom. Now you get great protection and hang, and you find that floater over the top. But that's still like that ball should have gone to Devontae off rip. Now, again, watch Dallas Goedert here.
Crosser, yeah.
Now, he's just – Devontae's running that shallow right there. Dallas Goedert is going to be wide open by 5 or 6 yards. But for some reason, Jalen, who – I watched Jalen throw that ball a bunch last year.
A whole bunch.
He didn't do it. He's not doing it right now. Again, Dallas Goedert crossing the middle of the field. Devontae – A.J. Brown's at the bottom of the screen. Jalen's looking at the bottom of the screen when he should be looking at Dallas crossing over the middle of the field. Now, I'm not trying to create drama. I swear I'm not. But when you watch the tape and you sit there and go, the passing game doesn't look the same as it did last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can sit there and point to those examples. Those are just three where you're going, he's hung on AJ.
Yep.
He's hung on AJ it's and not getting to someone else.
Not a new offensive coordinator thing. You don't push
no,
that to the side.
I mean, that might be a slight part of it, but those are pass concepts that they ran and executed at an incredibly high clip last year.
I think there is a little bit of the coordinator. I mean, I think he's called a great game.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to find the rhythm. Absolutely. Hurts feels indecisive at times, looking the wrong way, and even some of the ball placement stuff, which you can get
which
around.
Which wasn't
because
the case last year.
It wasn't the case. And they were firing at such a high frequency. That's where some of the frustration comes in for these players because they are so talented and they know that they should be clicking better. Mm-hmm. I had a situation when I was with Cleveland and Shanahan was our OC. Mike McDaniel was on that. And it was like the very next year for any coordinator to come in and follow that up. We were frustrated because it was like, why is this not flowing the way it was a year ago? Now, we didn't know we had two of the best football minds in football, but at the same time, it is frustrating to take that step back and regress the same way that the Eagles have this season.
Part of it, too, is they played the first game in a driving rainstorm, and it certainly rained last night. I just think there needs to come to that understanding that AJ is a massive part of their offense. We have to be able to pivot to somebody else with their eyes a little bit quicker.
Subconsciously or consciously, either way, Jalen Hurts read the football field last year at a higher rate than most quarterbacks in the league.
He's just not right now.
This year, he's not seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's not a coincidence that he's locked in on A.J. Brown after a dust-up on the sideline when you got tight ends running wide-ass open in the middle of the field. Yeah. That's all it boils down to.
It's hard for these quarterbacks dealing with these receivers, okay?
Yeah, they are deep.
All right.
Is that going to do me?
Coming up next, the Dallas suffered their first loss of the season on Sunday. So Marcus is going to go to the touchscreen. Tell us how we should fix the Cowboys after the break. You don't want to miss this. Big Swagoo at the touch. Let's go.
Dan, me and
ready?
You got to have a conversation,
uh-oh.
Dan Quinn.
What?
We're going to have a touch dust up.
No, I'm talking to Dan Quinn.
Look how big your head is.
What?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know what happens when you're supposed to win a championship? What happens when everybody's saying you're this and you're that and this is finally the year? Things tighten up.
And that's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals did.
They were the better team that day.
Snap to Dobbs, going to hand it off to Moore. Big ball up the middle, 40, 35, 30. Moore to the house. Touchdown, Cardinals.
Two chances to get it in here. Prescott looking in zone. That one's picked off. It's Kaiser White.
It's time for some self-reflection if you're the Dallas Cowboys and say, who are we?
This is one of those scores that you saw on Sunday and said, what? Dak has struggled in the red zone so far this season. His total QBR is 3, by far the worst in the NFL this season in those situations. It's a serious drop from last season when Prescott posted an 84 total QBR in the red zone, which was 3rd best in the NFL. Dan, sometimes the numbers don't lie. Sometimes they lie just a little bit. Okay, so what do you make of the red zone numbers 3 weeks in for Dak?
Context matters, and everyone making the red zone issues is making much bigger of a deal than it actually is. Okay, week 1, they go and drop 2 touchdown passes by the tight ends in the red zone versus the Giants in a driving rainstorm. Week two, they play against the Jets. The Jets have given up one red zone touchdown this year. That was by that magician play that Josh Allen had, running to his right, throwing across the field to Stephon Diggs. And then last week comes down to three things for me. One, Dak Prescott missed a zero pressure all out to hit CeeDee Lamb on a corner route. He didn't throw it to him. Dak will, more than likely. And then if I had to pick one thing, CeeDee Lamb against the Cardinals, it felt like I was watching a guy trying to get flags rather than going to get the football. Like, this is the zero pressure. That's a touchdown up top. I watched Brock Purdy on Thursday Night Football do it last week. Now, CeeDee, look, like, fight through contact. He just kind of puts his hand up in the air there trying to get a flag. It doesn't happen. And then the next one, he throws him the football one-on-one fade. It lands on the guy's helmet. But instead of going for the football, he just kind of that would be my one complaint. I think CeeDee's a really good receiver. And also, they had three starting offensive linemen out last week. Two of them are Hall of Famers. So I think the red zone issues are being blown completely out of proportion for Dallas.
They might be a little overstated, but I think with Dak, those are opportunities that a good quarterback takes advantage of. When you're in the red zone, those are opportunities to score. And he's fumbling snaps. He might make a missed read here or there. And even in the interception late in that game, if that's not picked off by the linebacker,
both safeties have
a chance to intercept it. And for a great quarterback, again, we will judge you off of what you do in the red zone. Yes, everything's condensed, so everything needs to happen faster, and your decision-making has to be on point and late in game.
Sure.
Because the really good quarterbacks take their level up a notch because opportunities for your team are right in front of you.
That's where you got to win. All right, so the offense sputtered in the red zone, but what about the other side of the ball? Swagoo's at the touchscreen. What are your concerns with that defense, Marcus?
Yeah, every time I got the touchscreen, I got to pay homage to the touchscreen god. That is Dan Orlovsky.
Amen.
I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time. Listen, for all of the talk we talked about Dak Prescott, this defense was the issue. One, on this first play, first of all, this is a great alignment. The Arizona Cardinals are in 12 personnel. That's one back, two tight ends. And they've already leveraged Dallas defense to get them to go one way. But I want you to keep your eyes on these two players right here. One of these players is one of the best players that we've seen as a young defensive player. That's Micah Parsons, and this is Donovan Wilson. And these two guys are responsible for getting this play stopped. And if they play with some eye discipline, they can do that. Arizona takes their guard. They take their guard and they pull. And they also take their tackle and they pull. One, I don't like Micah being in the five technique. But as I run this play, watch Micah Parsons. This is a zone read. All right, he's already committed to the running back. They forgot Josh Dobbs has legs and is an athlete. And then if you look at Donovan Wilson, who I showed you earlier, his eyes is already going to the backfield with no eye discipline on Joshua Dobbs. It's going to take him inside of this block. Both guys are now trying to retrace. Josh Dobbs is on the edge by himself. This ended up being a 29-yard gain for Joshua Dobbs. That is just undisciplined. And then this is why I was a little bit frustrated with Dan Quinn in this game. You have three Dallas Cowboys that are literally stacked in the same area. I don't know what the hell this alignment is. I know that there is an issue because now you had 13 with three tight ends in this overhang. But again, out leverage you by taking you in misdirection. Micah crashes down. Van Der Esch gets hooked. Donovan Wilson's eyes are on the inside. Look at all of these guys. Look at the leverage that the Arizona Cardinals have. They have two pullers that don't have anybody that is there to block right now because of playing this in bad eye discipline. And then it ends up in a James Conner touchdown. So we can make all of the talk about the red zone issues, and we could talk about all of the things offense because it's the lightning rod with Dak Prescott in the red zone and Mike McCarthy. This defense was not ready to play. They played with poor discipline and poor alignment. And the only people that I can attribute that to is Dan Quinn and the defensive players that are on the football field.
Hey, man, why it look like you're holding an iPhone, not an iPad?
Make a call. Call Dan Quinn. Say, hey, what you doing over there? Swag, that was legit. So good. So fire. New on NFL Live. Josh Dobbs was traded to the Cardinals August 24th and has been the team's starting quarterback ever since. But it seems nobody has told that to the Cardinals team store even after beating the Cowboys.
Yo, Josh Dobbs here. All right, I'm in the team store for the Cardinals trying to get a jersey for my fam. Check this out. So I walk over here to get a jersey made. Boom. Adult. Then I go large. Next. Then I go select from roster. Okay. Next. And guess what?
your boy is nowhere to be found. You got all the numbers and no number 9.
Like, yo, I know I just got here, but at least, come on, we can at least have the custom jersey ready for me. Help your boy out.
I get it. They didn't know he was playing. That's why he had such a great day. It was like an invisible man out there, and he's making a lot of things
happen. We're talking about the Cowboys.
We should not have let you comment on that, okay?
An invisible man out here, man.
That's why they were looking at the running back. They couldn't even see that man. I don't even know who this dude is, man.
That's messed up.
Look at this. They made an adjustment, okay? Look at that, how quickly. A Dobbs jersey. Hey, y'all, go out and buy that thing, okay?
Go get Dobbs jersey.
Adjustment, Dan Quinn. You hear that?
Yeah.
Ooh, clever. Let's get some top stories, guys. Some news around the league with Dan Graziano jumping back in here. Graz, you covered the Saints game Sunday where Derek Carr injured his shoulder. What should we know about his status today?
Well, he sprained the AC joint in the shoulder, the right shoulder, which is obviously the arm he throws with. So they're calling him day to day, or actually they said week to week, but I would not expect him this week based on anything I've heard. They're hopeful that it won't be too long. No discussion yet about putting him on injured reserve, which would require him to miss 4 games. So that tells you they're at least somewhat hopeful he can be back in less time than that. The Saints will get reinforcements this week. Running back Alvin Kamara returns from his 3-game suspension, and he's ready to go, and they're ready to have him. I was talking with Rashid Shaheed, their wide receiver. He said, yeah, the last couple weeks in meetings, we've been looking at film, and then people will say, oh, that's going to be AK when he gets back on that play. So they're very excited to welcome him back, and that'll help the offense with Jameis Winston likely starting at quarterback. And then the Packers, the team that came back and beat them on Sunday, are playing Thursday, but they look like they're going to get whole. Aaron Jones, the running back, wide receiver Christian Watson, both limited practice participants today. Sounds like they're trending toward playing on Thursday night. I was on the field pregame. Both those guys went through extensive pregame workouts Sunday morning, and it seemed like Jones might have actually been pushing to play. They held them both out. They won the game anyway, and now they may have them for Thursday night's big divisional matchup against Detroit.
Ooh, that's ideal. Love it, Gruz. Thanks so much. All the latest from you. Hey, still to come on NFL Live. After 3 weeks, Tua and the Dolphins have one of the hottest offenses in the league. Hawk's going to tell us the main reason for their early success next. Go get a jersey with a Dob father.
Hey, are those white uniforms in the conversation for the best in the league?
Which ones?
White Dolphins ones?
I like the Bengals ones last night, too.
Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Falcons and Jaguars are playing Sunday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. Eastern in London. And they're also playing in Andy's room? That's right, it's the NFL like you've never seen it before. The live game will transform into the world of Toy Story in real time. You'll see the same action that's happening on the field, but in a whole new way. Join Buzz, Woody, and all their friends Sunday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. on ESPN+.
Oh, we can't wait for that. Dan and I heading to London in just a couple days, but let's read and react, okay? I know that's kind of alarming. Time to read and react with some news from Green Bay around the NFL. Let's start with Jordan Love. He really struggled in the first 3 quarters against the Saints on Sunday, but he turned it on in the 4th quarter. As you see right there, he posted a 91 total QBR, ran for a touchdown, threw the game winner to Romeo Doubs. Just under 3 minutes left in the game. So where has Love found most of his success, Dan?
It really, going back to this past weekend, was working the slot. And it started with his rookie receiver, Luke Musgrave, and he started working inside out. Now, this is really man coverage on the perimeter. It's cover 2 on the top. And then kind of those slot and Musgrave, they're going to be triangled by the defense. We call this cover six mini. Now, two things matter. Those receivers got to push vertical to kind of scare that safety, and Musgrave's got to break flat, and then the ball has to come out on time by Jordan Love. All of those pieces together were perfect. Now he's going to work Reed in the slot. You're going to see man-to-man coverage again. Two things that matter the most. I need an indicator step from him at the very top. That right foot's in the ground. Now, are you going high or are you going flat? We got to be on the same page. On the same page, the ball comes out of Jordan Love's hand. And you talked about that Romeo Doubs one, but it wasn't by mistake. This is a back shoulder fade attempt to go win the game. They misconnect. There's a little bit too much touch on that one. The very next play, he's like, give it to me again. Jordan Love adjusts, and this time you'll see the ball much firmer. It's pinned on his back shoulder. I'm going to start calling Romeo Doubs the finisher, man, because when they get down there, I know some people hate the goal line fade. It's almost automatic right now between Jordan Love and Romeo Doubs. He worked inside, and then he gave him the fade to win.
You don't hate it if it works, right? And by the way, don't look now, but Jordan Love is the first Packers quarterback on record to throw a touchdown in each of his first four career starts. Hey!
Ever?
Yeah. First one. Oh. Okay, let's go to Miami. That
How about
really
that,
got
guys?
It. Devon Achane scored four touchdowns on Sunday. It's got the rookie feeling like he's in the game of Madden. Listen to this.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. Eight touchdowns between two running backs, and then just Tua going out there and making plays. Like, our offense is like you said, it's speed. It's, we got weapons everywhere from receiver, running back, QB. So, I mean, if we go out there and we all clicking on all cylinders, I feel like, you know, there's something. You know, it was, I mean, I wouldn't say that I came out here like, okay, we're gonna score 70 points. But, I mean, we capable of doing a lot of great stuff with this team.
I mean, I hear him. Hawk, you heard him talking about the speed of that offense.
Yes.
How is McDaniel harnessing that?
Listen, you cannot innovate without doing something that has never been done. And that is where Mike McDaniel, as the kids say, is different. Now, look, Woo. When you look at their pre-snap motions, there's typically three reasons why you do it. Number one, you want to out-leverage the defense. Number two, you want to diagnose what the defense is doing. And number three, you want to disguise what you're getting into. There's now a fourth wrinkle. What they're basically doing is they're getting their lightning-fast receivers going full speed at the snap of the ball. When they motion that close to the snap, it basically turns into CFL football. And if you think a DB can guard Tyreek Hill going full speed from a standstill, as Marcus would say, you're out of your damn mind.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, I mean, listen, motion already can be confusing, but at lightning speed, impossible.
I like
it. The Dolphins have scored 14 touchdown plays using motion this season. That's six more than the next closest team. Ooh. Crazy. All right, let's go to Cleveland, where Myles Garrett and the Browns defense has been nothing short of dominant this season. They rank first in points allowed per game, yards per play, total QBR. Defense has allowed just one scrimmage touchdown this season. The Browns offense has allowed two touchdowns, a pick six and a fumble return for a touchdown in week two against the Steelers. So let's talk about Myles Garrett, because it's been a whole lot of fun to watch. What's different about him?
Myles said, I'm sick of it. All right. People talk about this defense, and now he's starting to assert himself and make sure that he's the catalyst to create a lot of things that happen good for other players on this defense, especially up front. He's bending the edge at a phenomenal rate, and the athleticism and the power and ability to bend low while you're rushing the passer has always been his calling card, but now it's starting to be done from different positions. Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, looked around the league and said everybody is moving the chess piece around that nobody else has. Well, he has that in Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is a chess piece that is not on any other team in this league, and he's starting to create some real havoc from a schematic standpoint, and Miles is benefiting individually as well.
Yeah, he said, I don't care what the offense is doing. I'm just going to do my thing. He'd be fun on offense,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, the dude would play basketball in the middle of a football game.
You're right. I know. Okay, coming up next on NFL Live, you do not want to miss this. We're going to talk Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. They're off to a slow start, but Dan and Marcus think the offense is the least of their worries. We get into that next as they head to London soon to take on the Falcons. We'll be right back. We're going to saying something bad up in here. All right. Hey, the NFL London games kick off Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, exclusively on ESPN+. Plus. Dan and I on the call with Chris Fowler and Lewis Riddick. Can't wait for that. Seeing Bijan Robinson and the Falcons taking on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags at Wembley Stadium, the iconic Wembley. To get ESPN+, Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app.
London.
This is a new segment. This feels really appropriate for us, guys. Each Tuesday, we're going to tell you exactly what went wrong for teams around the league. I ask myself this question every day. Dan, you first. Four interceptions for Sam Howell this week. What went wrong?
Week two, he was so impressive in that comeback and made some throws down the field. You're like, oh, my goodness, the aggressive nature that he did it. And did week three, it bit him in the butt. You know, third and long, you're in field goal range, essentially. You force a ball down the middle of the field. Bernard's right there. Third and two, you got pressure, and instead of having a plan for it right before the half, you again just float the ball to the sideline. So I think the biggest thing, coming off of week one, I said this about Sam Howell, he's got to learn when and when not to. And week two, he did. Now, overly aggressive with the football in week three, that's what he's got to realize and kind of figure out is when he can and when he shouldn't.
Marcus, the Ravens defense got beat by Gardner Minshew Sunday. What went wrong?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the Ravens' four-man pass rush. I hate that they have to generate pressure. I know Kyle Hamilton had three sacks and a sack fumble, but I want to see this defensive line, Matabike, the addition of the guys that they have up front, coming and making plays, getting to the quarterback on a more consistent basis so you don't have to put yourself behind the eight ball. Now, with that being said, Gardner Minshew made some phenomenal throws, and these receivers made some phenomenal catches now. So I don't want to take that away from them. I just think the Ravens need to live in a four-man rush a little bit more.
Hawk, the Jags dropped to 1-2 with their loss to Houston this week. What happened?
Yeah, execution. Ridley and Lawrence weren't on the same page. There was way more drops in this game than there should be in an NFL game. False start, illegal formation, receivers falling down, the quarterback tripping, the running back. This does not look like the high-powered offense we thought it would be coming into the season. Now, luckily, there is more than enough time to fix it, but the gap between the Jaguars and the rest of the division isn't quite as big as we thought.
Hey, here's my issue. Not only were there more drops for the Jags on Sunday, so far this season, they have more drops than anybody in football. Mm. Have you ever been a part of a team that had drop issues? That's a real question. I'm not trying to be funny here.
Are you about to tee up some tape of me or something? Is that?
We would never, okay?
I absolutely have been a part of a team.
Was it a you guys thing or was it a quarterback thing?
It's drops are typically a receiver thing. I'll give you that, Dan.
Was it just Jugs machine work?
It's one of those things. Every receiver kind of goes through these, and depending, you know, Ridley's been out of football. He's getting back into the swing of things. Every receiver will go through it. The best ones know how to climb out of it.
Not concerned about Ridley, though, right?
Not at all.
I don't think that's going to be a long-term thing.
Absolutely
the connection
not.
Started off really good. I agree with Hawk. If I had to say offense, defense, special teams, where does it rank with the concerns right now for the Jaguars? Offense would be third.
Mm-hmm.
I would say defensively is first. Right now, if you go back and watch C.J. Stroud, the blown coverages that led to three huge pass plays were a big issue. The safety's playing basically down at the line of scrimmage, and you have a rookie quarterback seeing it going, well, I'm not going to let you do that. And then the blown coverage to pass off the high-low flat corner route leads to a huge Tank Dell touchdown. That would probably be the biggest takeaway coming off this weekend. Also, 13 points on special teams. Mm. They had a kick blocked. They missed a field goal, and then they have the long punt return for 80-plus yards. So I don't walk away going, man, I think they're running the football well. I think they're spitting it to the perimeter well. I think the connection with Trevor Lawrence. Now, he did have one forced interception. That obviously has to go away. But the biggest thing for the offense for me, and I agree, is just clean up those drops and make sure they don't become the consistent kind of storyline.
I think it's a maturation process for what y'all talking about.
For
this
who?
Team.
For
the team? Yeah, they jumped in the spotlight with a playoff comeback. They still, you know, teams came into the season thinking this is the head honcho in our division.
Right.
Teams are preparing for them now like they supposed to be a playoff team. I think they got to make that adjustment. Mm-hmm. I hate this, but it's too – I need to see more from Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
All right, and it really has – because these are two really good football players. But every time Jacksonville rushed the passer with four guys, there was no pressure. There was zero. C.J. Stroud was able to make throws. A couple times he had to escape outside of the pocket. But when you rush four with two guys that you took in the first round to get after the quarterback, they got to show up. They got to show up, especially in these type of games when you are reeling a little bit from some blown coverages. Yeah. That is the time you're asking those guys, we need to get the ball. We need to get to the quarterback. We need to get him on the ground. I think they'll get it going. Josh Allen is getting to the quarterback, but I need effective plays from those two.
He is
particular.
A little banged up. He's had a shoulder injury. You wonder if that's part of it.
Here's the issue, though. I feel like we've been saying about that about it's Jacksonville for like 4 years.
They turned it on last year, though, Dan. That playoff run that they made, remember the Dallas game?
Yeah.
When that is when the front started.
They're capable of doing it?
Kind of coming together. I think they are capable of doing it. I don't know what the issue is. And it could be Josh's shoulder. But Trayvon Walker is not – every rush is a bull rush.
Right. Yeah.
There is – I'm watching these guys use hands. I'm watching these guys use rip moves. He has to find something that he can consistently win with. Right now, I don't think he has that tool in his bag.
Hawk, I just want to update something. So, Hawk had 9 career drops in your entire career.
That's a hell
the
of a
Jaguars
career.
The Jaguars, through 3 games, have 8. So,
can you still play?
No. And I only played one season in the league. No, I'm kidding.
No, wait, how
two games. No.
It was like 13 seasons.
You'd have been fired. Man, you'd have been fired. You would have never knew you.
You can't be no 5'7 receiver dropping the ball, man. We know how this goes.
Hold on to that thing.
Come on now.
Hey, time now for one more thing before we go. For that, we turn to Mina's Twitter. So yesterday was Mina's last day on the show for a bit as she begins her maternity leave. And we all made a video wishing her luck. Well, Mina retweeted a video with a message. Dan, would you mind reading the tweet, what she wrote? We're going to put it up on the screen here for you.
It says, quote, tweet, love my TV family, at Laura Rutledge, at Real Clark 25.
Oh, my gosh. She didn't put you on there.
96. And at Field Yates, see you guys soon.
Dan.
That's weird.
Whoa.
She didn't even.
It was an honest mistake.
That's messed up. Your head didn't read that.
UMK is as close as anybody. She made a mistake.
She made a mistake.
Can we do this more often where we make Dan read tweets?
That are about him.
She didn't include me in that.
You said my name wrong.
What?
You said Mark Spears 96.
Hey, that's, that happens all the time.
No. Talk about the NBA, right?
You suck.
The NBA,
Mina.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.